KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Doctor of Veterinary Medicine Liz Sanchi, and she's Professor of Equine Surgery, K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. Want to remind our folks, as always, phone lines open if you have questions or comments. 537-1350, toll free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. Thought we'd lead off talking some about lameness and things that people can do, and also, of course, about your new Equine Performance Testing Center, which is pretty exciting, too, if you kind of want to share a few things with us today. Liz.
Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Lameness is one of the biggest problems that horse owners have to deal with. You know, we all get a little sore with our athletic activities, and horses are no different. And so when a horse is limping, then the owner, you know, wants to try and find out how they can make them more comfortable and get them back into athletic use. And so they bring their horses to us, and we do lameness exams on them to try and figure out the source of the lameness. You know, with people, you can go to your doctor and say, oh, my knee hurts, whereas your horse can't do that. So we have to be a little bit of detectives in order to try and suss out the place that hurts. And then once we figure out the location, then we use some of our imaging modalities to try and figure out specifically what is the source of the pain.
And, you know, it used to be, of course, their legs are so absolutely important to a horse. I mean, with their heavy, with their weight and everything, I mean, you really want those legs to be working the way they should be. But it's not a death sentence necessarily. I mean, if they're a little bit lame, a lot of times it's things you can do to help them out.
That's certainly right. Now, for the high-level performance horse, of course, lameness can limit their ability to be a high-performance animal. But for your general purpose, riding horse, trail horse, kids horse, if they have a mild degree of lameness, there's lots and lots of things that we can do in order to get that horse more comfortable and back into use.
What are some of the most common things that you see when it comes to lameness?
Well, we see a lot of Western performance horses, as you might imagine, and because of the way those horses rely on their hind limbs in order to provide them with propulsion, they end up with a fair number of problems in the back limbs, particularly the hocks. That's the most common thing that you'll see in barrel horses or team roping horses or really any of those reining horses, cutting horses, any of those Western performance disciplines. And the horse's hock is commonly affected with just a little bit of arthritis. And so once we make the diagnosis, there's lots of things we can do first with their shoeing and then with perhaps some intra-articular treatments in order to make them more comfortable and able to pursue their athletic endeavors.
And shoeing is very important, how that's done, how a farrier does their job.
Absolutely. Finding a good farrier can sometimes be a struggle, but then once you find one, if they're good, they can be hard to get to your place. And so, you know, a good farrier goes a long way. We're very lucky at K-State to have a couple of farriers who come to our shop and do some trimming and shoeing there. And so we're grateful for their help.
Well, let's talk some more about the imaging and your ability to do so much more than you used to be able to do, and the comparison and kind of what it really does mean for you.
So imaging refers to sort of the vast number of tools that we have. You know, most people will be familiar with taking x-rays or radiographs, but also we use ultrasound, computed tomography, which is CT scanning. And most exciting for us is within the next year, we're going to have our MRI up, which will allow us to do some really, really great imaging of the soft tissues of the distal limb. So very excited about that because, again, once you've sort of figured out where the source of the lameness is, then you got to figure out what is the specific cause of it. And imaging is critical to that. To that end, we're very also excited. We have some new imaging equipment that was donated to the university. We're very grateful to that donor. And so we have a new x-ray system that's coming online this week and a new ultrasound that's going to allow us to provide rapid imaging capabilities within the context of our Equine Performance Testing Center, which is a new thing that I also wanted to talk about. We have a new Equine Performance Testing Center where we can drill down more on equine lameness, and it includes a place where a horse could be ridden, which is safely, which is an ability we did not have until recently. And so we've got a place to jog horses and lunge them both on hard and soft surfaces, and then a place where a horse can be safely ridden, and we can incorporate that into our lameness exam.
And when you mentioned some different ways that you can treat lameness, let's maybe go through some of those. As I said, there's all sorts of different options now, and I think there continue to be even more things as you learn more about this.
Absolutely. So, you know, the first thing, obviously, you know the stage. If you injure yourself, rest is the number one thing, and sometimes that can be sufficient. I just need to back off a little bit. With people, they use the RICE combination of words, which refers to rest, ice, compression, and elevation. And in horses, we do rest, we do ice, we do compression. Elevation's a little bit tougher to get to. But those things are obviously the first thing to do. Sometimes, you know, the shoeing has gotten out of whack, or the horse has developed some sort of bruise to its foot. Those are relatively easy to take care of with just a little bit of rest and maybe getting their shoeing back in line. Then after that, we are left with medical therapies, which can include intravenous, say, hyaluronic acid or intramuscular glycosaminoglycans. All of those products are meant to support cartilage health. Then if we want to be more specific about the joint, we can do injections into the joint, which would include acid and steroids. And then in the last 10 years or so, as in human medicine, the biological products such as IRAP or platelet-rich plasma have entered into the field. And so those are substances that are actually taken from the horse's blood, your horse's blood, and then are processed in a way to concentrate the good factors that are going to help with cartilage healing.
It is interesting. Well, go ahead. You had another thought.
Well, the last thing, finally, as a surgeon, I feel required to say, and also sometimes surgery is necessary. So if a horse has little chip fragments or some tearing that we can clean up using the arthroscope, then that's what we do.
Now, it's interesting. I mean, horses really, I say this often to folks since I own them, that they're a lot more fragile than people may realize. They're huge animals, but boy, when that leg, and when they do get a fracture, is there anything at all you can do?
Absolutely. There are of course, fractures that are impossible to repair. Certainly, I have repaired fractures successfully, especially in younger horses. They seem to respond better. They have better ability to heal their bones, and they're lighter, and so that can make it a little less challenging. It's challenging still, but the problem with the implants and stuff that we use for fractures is that all those implants are made for people, and the people top out at 250 or 300 pounds at the very most, and so for a horse that weighs 11 or 1200, then you were really pushing on those implants. So that is why some fractures are challenging. Also, infection is a big thing in horse fractures, and so that can obviously make it very difficult as well. They don't have much soft tissue around their legs, and so when they make a break, then it's often open, which can be can really reduce the prognosis. But there are several fractures that are can be treated successfully with surgery, and those horses can then go on, in some cases, to be performance animals or certainly be salvaged as a companion animal or a pleasure riding horse.
And that, of course, part of the difficulty is those feet are important to them, too. They use it for defense. And, I mean, it's hard to just tell them, okay, now don't use that. You can't tell them not to use that foot.
No, and the other thing is there's no such thing as a three-legged horse. Laminitis is, of course, a big concern in horses that have fractures because they're sort of overloading their support leg. And so that's one of the big things that is a challenge for us treating fractures because horses, you know, they don't lie down like they're supposed to, especially in a hospital environment, and that can lead to problems as well.
Well, anything else you want to add today? We've covered a lot of territory, but just anything else you think folks need to know about?
Well, I mean, I would encourage people to come on by and have a look at our new Equine Performance Testing Center. It's really a very nice facility, and we are there to help you with your challenges in your performance animals. And with our new imaging equipment, hopefully that'll, and then when the MRI comes in very soon, we'll be able to to provide horse owners with really all the tools that they need to diagnose when their horse has a lameness problem.
Well, thanks again for stopping by.
No problem.
Again,
thank you.
We've had Liz Sanchi, and she is Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, professor with equine surgery at K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. We'll take a break. We're going to go from animal health to human health. Lafine Health Center Director Jim Parker will be joining us next, along with Dr. Kyle Gorrell, Family Practice and Sports Medicine. You're listening to In Focus.
KMAN Morning News is presented by Strecker Nelson West Gallery. Visit snwgallery.com for details on current and upcoming shows, and stop by the gallery on Points.